Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. It's November 7, 2025. Great to be back with you live here on EWTN's Catholic Connection. Good morning. Buongiorno. From Central Italy, we wrapped up our taping for our new series, online series for EWTN Learn, all about the unknown St. Francis. What do we mean by that? Well, we are going to places not well known, or I would say lesser known by, you know, the average person who comes to Italy to go to the tomb of St. Francis or maybe to the tomb of St. Clair, but doesn't really go beyond Assisi. So in honor of the 800th anniversary of his passing, which is coming up next year, in 2026, we decided to do a full-blown second online series from EWTN Learn, and it'll be out next year. We'll keep you updated, but it was a lot of fun, but a lot of hard work. I appreciate Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for me, and we went all over Central Italy and parts of Lazio, which is just south of Umbria. We went to Greccio, where St. Francis established the first live nativity scene. We went to Gubbio, where he began his conversion. We went to, the Hermitage above Assisi, learning a little bit more about that. We went over to Gubbio for the Wolf of Gubbio, and then back to Assisi at St. Mary of the Angels and the Porticciola and some other interesting areas. Oh, we went to a really cool place. Had never been there before. This was a first for me and Deacon Dom. Riva Torto, where he encountered the leper and where he started his first headquarters there. It is amazing. They have the replica of, built on the actual site of this cave where he lived. You could say more of like a stone hut where he lived with the friars early on. So it's just fascinating. It's below Assisi. So these are some of the places that a lot of people don't visit because people are very busy on tour and pilgrimage. And so they come into Assisi, they spend a half a day there and then they leave. But there's so much more to learn about this amazing patron of Italy and animals and the ecology and the environment than just visiting his hometown, which is great. You need to put Italy on your Assisi on your bucket list for Italy. But again, we're trying to introduce you to more of this great saint and his life and his ministry. And a big thanks to our EWTN crew from our Rome office. We had Anthony Johnson, who heads everything up down there in terms of videography. He was with us for 2 days. And then two young men who were trained by Anthony, who were very talented videographers, both of whom were graduates of the Summer Academy, which was really great to chat with them and learn about their interest in broadcasting and their love of the faith. And one is a very faithful missionary, recently married from Ireland. The other is a convert to Catholicism, and he's from Finland. So they did a great job. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we move through the next few months. I'll let you know when the series will be available. Again, this is an online series through the EWTN Mission Advancement, and it's called The Unknown St. Francis of Assisi, EWTN Learn Series. All right, let's talk about the show this morning. We are going to be talking with our very own Doug Keck, speaking of EWTN, with our inside word on what's happening this week in November. Our 2 cent segment, there's a couple of items that I'm hoping to get to. I don't know if I'll get to both. So I received a very interesting email from one of our wonderful listeners, Nancy, who sent me this clip on YouTube. It's about an hour-long clip claiming to be Pope Leo, talking about Donald Trump with a warning for the world. And it is very, very, obviously very fake. But she was wondering about it and said, how do we tell the difference? Because it sounds just like Pope Leo. So we're going to talk about how do you know what's real and what isn't? And she poses a very good question and she asked me to examine that a little bit. So we'll do that. And then I don't know if you've been covering this story. It's making a lot of news, at least in conservative circles. Have you heard about all the controversy with the BBC, which is very similar to public broadcasting here in the U.S. BBC is a British broadcasting corporation paid for by taxpayers in Great Britain, and they are under all kinds of investigations now for extreme bias, a lot of problems based on some internal memos that were released and this very detailed report by the Telegraph. But what's interesting, in the midst of all this, they accuse one of their anchors of being impartial and being not being impartial and being biased in her choice of words regarding the trans issue, in the midst of being greatly criticized for their own bias. So we'll discuss that in 2 cents if we have time. If we don't, we'll move it to the second. Actually, in our Fact Check Friday at the bottom of the hour, if we can't get to both, we'll move it to the 2 cents segment in the next hour. So again, we have Doug Keck to start after the news, our Fact Check Friday, and then we're wrapping up with an interview of someone you know well from his great work at the Augustine Institute, also a regular feature on EWTN, Dr. Tim Gray. He's going to be one of the keynote speakers on the Good News Cruise 2027. We're talking about 27 already because 2026 has long been sold out. In the meantime, let's take a look at the weather for you. The National Weather Service is saying showers along with a few strong to severe thunderstorms expected in the Great Lakes area, as well as New England and southward into the Ohio and Tennessee valleys. In the wake of this system, the National Weather Service says a stronger storm is expected to track from the Pacific Northwest. The plains are through the eastern part of the country sometime this weekend. We're looking at strong wind showers and a larger drop in temperatures expected this weekend as well. And they're saying that will stay with us until Monday. So that's a rundown, as we say in the biz, and that's a look at the weather as well. It is 5 minutes past the hour already on a Friday. So let's take a look at the news and see what's happening on November 7th here on EWTN. Yesterday, the Holy Father meeting with Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the state of Palestine, discussing the urgent need to provide assistance to the civilian population in Gaza. Vatican News reporting the conversation, which took place at the Vatican, of course, was the first encounter between the pair who had previously spoken over only the phone. A statement from the Holy See press office describing the meeting as cordial, adding that among the topics discussed was the urgent need to end the conflict by pursuing a two-state solution. President Abbas' visit to the Vatican also marked the 10th anniversary of the signing of the comprehensive agreement between the Holy See and the state of Palestine. And Pope Leo says, as Devin Watkins reports in the Vatican, that an updated document signed by European church leaders bears witness to their willingness to work together to spread the gospel.
The bishop signed an updated Carta Ecumenica on Wednesday at the Abbey of the Three Fountains in Rome. In his address, the Pope said the updated document seeks to address the constantly evolving ecumenical journey of Christians in Europe while responding to contemporary concerns in proclaiming the gospel. He noted that Europe has seen new generations born and people arrive from distant lands, bringing with them varied histories and cultural expressions. The Pope said there have been positive and encouraging signs of growth in some parts of Europe, but added that sometimes Christian communities feel that they are increasingly a minority voice.
There are therefore many new voices to be heard and stories that must be welcomed through daily encounters, closer relationships, not to mention the urgency of promoting dialogue, concord, and fraternity amidst the din of violence and war, whose echoes are heard across the continent. In all these situations, the grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord are indeed vital.
Pope Leo called the Carta Ecumenica a testimony to the willingness of the churches in Europe to look at our history through the eyes of Christ. He said the Carta suggests ecumenical methods and also insists on companions for the journey.
One of the notable achievements of the process of revising the Carta has been the ability to take a shared view on contemporary challenges and draw up priorities for the future of the continent, while maintaining a firm belief in the unending relevance of the gospel.
In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV reminded European bishops of his upcoming visit to the site where the Council of Nicaea took place in 325, where he will pray with leaders of other Christian communities. I'm Devin Watkins.
In other news this morning, FAA records showing the UPS plane that crashed and killed at least a dozen people in Louisville recently spent time at a maintenance facility. The Louisville mayor, Craig Greenberg, saying his city is supporting the NTSB's investigation into that crash.
Their job is to learn what happened, use that knowledge to prevent future tragedies like this from happening in the future. And so we want to support the NTSB in every shape, way, shape, or form that we can.
Maintenance records show a crack in the jet's fuel tank needed a permanent repair. It was grounded in San Antonio from September 3rd until October 18th. The jet crashed earlier this week while taking off from Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport, causing a massive explosion. The NTSB says ground video appeared to show the left engine detaching from the wing just before that plane went down. And journalists have been getting a look at a part of Gaza that had been the site of some of the fiercest fighting in the war between Hamas and Israel. Reporter Matt Bradley says he visited an Israeli military outpost.
The U.S. is working on a resolution to present to the United Nations Security Council that would authorize a so-called international stabilization force. And if this is to be approved, it would be a big step toward making this ceasefire into a more permanent treaty.
For now, he says a ceasefire seems to be holding. And Scott Pringle tells us police are searching for the person who spray-painted swastikas outside a Jewish school. This happened in Brooklyn.
The graffiti was discovered outside the Imagine David Yeshiva on McDonald Avenue in Gravesend, as well as a Jewish cemetery and Jewish social services organization Wednesday morning. Governor Kathy Hochul condemned the act and says she's going to put more money in the budget for security at certain sensitive locations.
You cannot engage in such hatred in our great state, in our great city, and think you will get away with it.
Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani reacted to the swastikas, calling it disgusting and a heartbreaking act of anti-Semitism. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
More details of a massive immigration raid in Houston are coming out. ICE agents arresting more than 1,500 people over 10 days. They say the operation was focused on enhancing public safety. Officials say one person arrested was a 35-year-old deported child predator and Mexican mafia member. He was wanted for murder in Honduras, and he was arrested while hiding in a grocery store. House Speaker Mike Johnson says Republicans have begun to feel really frustrated as a government shutdown continues.
There is really nothing for us to negotiate. We sent them a clean CR, as you know, back in September, September 19th. We passed it out of the House. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Some Senate Republicans, however, are optimistic, and they say they're close to reaching a deal to reopen the government. Senate Majority Leader John Thune saying this week that a multi-funding package that could get bipartisan support is nearing completion. He met with Democratic negotiators earlier this week in an effort to find a solution. Some lawmakers are now hopeful a deal can be reached and approved by Congress by next week, but that depends on how quickly negotiators can get others on board. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, meanwhile, says flights will be reduced by 10% at 40 airports nationwide starting today because of the impact of that shutdown. The list of airports that will be impacted reportedly includes major travel hubs such as LAX, New York, LaGuardia, Chicago, O'Hare, and Phoenix Sky Harbor.
We were seeing increased pressure in these 40 markets, and we looked at the data. This was data-driven, and so taking 10% of the flights out will reduce that pressure.
This comes as staffing shortages are causing delays and cancellations across the country, Duffy acknowledging the move will cause an increase in delays, but he says this is to help with air traffic controller shortages, as you heard, and to help the controllers deal with the level of fatigue. They have been working without pay because of the government shutdown. And Michael Kastner tells us United Airlines will refund customers who now don't want to fly because of the impending federal flight restrictions.
The FAA is cutting 10% of flights in U.S. airspace starting Friday morning due to air traffic controller staffing issues during the ongoing federal government shutdown. Those controllers have been working without pay for more than a month now. The plan announced Wednesday gave airlines just 36 hours to reduce flights. United CEO Scott Kirby said any customer is eligible for a refund even if their flight isn't impacted. I'm Michael Kastner.
And the Supreme Court is now mulling the legality of President Trump's tariffs. The justice is hearing arguments this week after the high court agreed to fast-track the case. Those tariffs will stay in place until the court makes a decision. The president did not attend after initially saying he was considering the unprecedented move of doing so. It's a Friday morning. The Inside Word with our very own President Emeritus Doug Keck is up next. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN's Catholic Connection. We'll be right back. We're having a beautiful Friday morning, November 7, 2025, here on the one, the only EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Always great to catch up with Doug Keck. And Doug, you know, I had the experience the last couple of days of working with graduates of the EWTN Summer Academy. They were working with, of course, the amazing Anthony Johnson and taping a new series, online series I'm doing for EWTN Mission Advancement. I was so proud to meet these young, Anthony I've worked with before, and he's amazing, but Anthony actually pretty much runs the Summer Academy. But these two young guys, I think, are a great example of the kind of people we're producing at EWTN. Just saying, I was a little bit proud. Like, it was Auntie T this week. I was very proud of these two young men, one from Ireland, the other one from Finland.
Right. It just goes to show you that if you offer opportunities to great young Catholics out there who are looking to do things in the line of their faith and supporting their church.
It was really, really fun. So what's happening? What's coming up the next weekend and week or so at EWTN?
Well, we've got, first of all, in the United States, certainly Veterans Day coming up. And in honor of that, tomorrow we're going to have a program called The Pilgrim. And it's airing at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And it's a very interesting, hard-hitting program about a soldier who's dealing with PTSD. It's an original production that EWTN did, and it's very, very powerful. We've got the Jubilee Audience with Pope Leo XIV. It's a live event airing tomorrow at 4 a.m., live encoring at 3, and it's from St. Peter's Square. Accompany pilgrims from all over the world as they join Pope Leo XIV in exclusive audiences in Rome. We also, for our movie of the week on Saturday night at the movies, as they used to say, we've got Mother Cabrini. This is the original film we did at much less expense, but much more orthodox. So if you really want to know what Mother Cabrini was about spiritually, this is a good one to check out at 8 p.m. tomorrow. On Sunday, you got the Holy Mass of the Feast of the Dedication of the Basilica St. John Lateran. Where the Holy Father will be there at St. John Lateran. That's at 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time, encoring at 7. We also have The Glory of the Papacy with Dr. Timothy O'Donnell, airing later that night. And we've got Hidden Gems, Catholic Shrines in America, on Monday. And this is a series where we look at the shrines that people are unaware of that are in the United States. This one is the Queen of Peace Shrine in Sioux City, Iowa. And I bet you half the people in Sioux City didn't know it was there. That's at airing on Monday at 5:30 p.m. And then on the 11th, of course, is the actual day of Veterans Day. We do have a couple of specials in honor of that day. Tear in the Desert, Father Ron Camarda, chaplain and Marines during the Battle of Fallujah. So not that long ago, offers personal reflections from his experience during the war. That's airing at 5:30 p.m. And then we have The Grand Padre, a popular program we did on the life of Father Vincent Capodanno, who had to do with dealing in Vietnam. And that's just some of the material we've got coming up. All a new episode on Tuesday of Living Right with Dr. Ray. So go to EWTN.com and check out all the great programs we have on our online platform. We've got our, I keep saying, ever-expanding YouTube channel, but literally it has blown up in a positive way and expanded out as an explosion, so to speak, in a positive way. And also on our online platform, to check all of that out.
We're talking, of course, with Doug Keck, as we do every Friday, for Inside Word, giving you the scoop on what's coming up so you can make a note of it and not miss a thing. EWTN.com for all the information. You mentioned earlier original productions. How far in advance, or how do you go about choosing what is going to be an original production? I'm sure lots of folks come to you with all kinds of ideas.
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, in some ways it's changed a little bit in the last couple of years. And certainly Peter Gagnon, who's the president of EWTN Studios, is dealing with it in a slightly different way, because I think in the past, you know, going back into 1996 on, with not a lot of money and not a lot of, you know, opportunities, we really had to work on the premise originally of basically opportunistic programming, meaning somebody would come along and then we could figure something out that we could do at a reasonable price. And then over the last 15, let's say, years at least, we really made an effort to first beat the bushes to get programs that were out there and produced already. The second, which John Elson really spearheaded on our team along with Enrique de Prat on the Spanish side, was to really build relationships and put some seed money out there for producers in different parts of the world to work with us. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've seen The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing and Wolf in the Fold, or these programs about the Curia of Ars or Lourdes and those kinds of things that are out there. And, you know, and out of Ireland on St. Patrick, etc. Those things, you know, I mean, depending on the complexity, easily can be a couple of years out from the time you first talk about it to the time you get it on the air.
So if someone wants to do a project or have an idea for it, do they come to you already with the funding, or is that something that's worked out later? Because it's always, you know, you have to think about the practicality of it, right?
Yeah,
you know?
it's a mixed bag. There are opportunities here and there, but I'll say it's highly unusual that somebody comes to you and says, I have the money to do this.
Right.
You know, and I'm just telling you about it because I want you to air it. Somebody might say that if they're looking for us to then pay them for that so they can recoup some of their money. But most of the times it's someone who's coming and either saying, I've got an idea and I don't have any money, or I have an idea and I have some funding. Could you put up the other half? Those kinds of things like that. And we can work together. And based upon that, we can talk about how the rights work going forward. And of course, things have gotten much more complex because of all of the ways things are distributed on platforms, etc. So it is more complicated, but they're having a lot more conversations, I think, Peter and his team, and it's keeping them busy, where people are coming forward now, and younger people are, who see opportunities. EWTN has that contest for young people to produce from high school and college programs, and out of that, hopefully, was always designed to encourage people to start doing these kinds of things, and where appropriate, if we could then finance their next project, because they've got the talent and they've got the theology behind them, that's a great way to grow programming.
Yeah, it's really powerful because, for example, one of the young men videographers that was with us this week for our taping, his name is Patrick. He's from Ireland, and he basically is self-taught. He didn't go to, let's say, journalism or broadcasting school, but he grew up in a missionary family, very interested in communicating the faith online, and so he started to train himself watching YouTube videos on editing and photography, and now he's a full-time freelancer, and his goal is to produce really good Christian Catholic content. And we were also talking about the amount of content that's available now, and you mentioned this all the time on EWTN. So much different, Doug, than you and I first started in the business years ago.
Right. Absolutely. And I hate to say it tongue-in-cheek, he's lucky he didn't go to one of those schools because he probably wouldn't be interested in making good Orthodox Catholic programming.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that he was protected from that is why he still has that in his heart. But yeah, I mean, one of the things is technology has become much simpler in the sense of financially cheaper. You know, you can shoot a movie with your phone, basically, and, you know, editing software and things like that. What somebody used to, when I first started in a 4 1-inch machines and a CMX editing system, you know, that cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, you know, for $1,000, a couple of grand at the most, you can outfit yourself quite well. It's the same thing with like podcasting. So the entry is much easier, and it really does allow people to show their talent, and really talent wills out rather than having lots of gatekeepers who decide what's good and not good.
Yeah, that's why the Academy is so helpful, because if they already have that interest and that gift and a little bit of experience underneath them, they can apply for the Academy, and the Academy focuses on all areas that are really important to produce quality media. Right. So media, journalism, cinematography, storytelling, they wrap that all into this 2.5-3 week program. I think it's phenomenal that you're producing so many, you know, wonderful young people. That's another great thing that we're doing 3WTN. All right, my friend, well, you go have a great weekend, and we love having you on. Thank you for still joining us. And of course, we can find everything you mentioned regarding the upcoming programming on EWTN.com, correct? All the information?
Absolutely, all the time. And don't forget our on-demand platform or our, you know, the ever-expanding audio podcast, Podcast Central.
All right. Doug Keck, of course, President Emeritus, joining us every Friday morning here on Catholic Connection, EWTN's Catholic Connection, to give us the inside word on what's coming up in the next week or so. Lots of exciting stuff. Check it out, as Doug said, EWTN.com. Continuing our media conversation with Fact Check Friday, how do you know if something is real or fake, especially where the Pope is concerned? We'll fill you in. Stay tuned. A great day. It's November 7, 2025. Teresa Tomeo on EWTN's Catholic Connection. After our Fact Check Friday segment, we are going to chat with Timothy Gray, Dr. Tim Gray from the Augustine Institute in EWTN. He's going to be joining us on the 2027 Good News Cruise. going to be one of the keynote speakers. Look forward to catching up with Dr. Tim Gray, a wonderful apologist and Bible expert, scripture scholar, and I'm sure he'll be a lot of fun, but also extremely interesting as one of our speakers for 2027, goodnewscruise.com. Okay, so received a very nice email from one of our listeners, Nancy, who had some questions about a video. It's not really even a video. It's more just audio, a very long alleged talk by the Pope, or address, I should say, more specifically. And it's covered with a graphic image of the Holy Father. And right away, I realized that it was fake. But it might be harder for some people who are not familiar with the way things are put together to realize that it may not be real. It may be something generated by AI. AI is so sophisticated now that you can take someone's voice, you can take their likeness, and do all kinds of things with it. And unfortunately, people are really, really taking advantage of it. So this particular video, apparently what really concerned me is that the source was originally linked to, well, the link, I should say, not the source, because there really is no source to the video. The link to that particular video, which is just audio, again, with an image of the Holy Father covering it, apparently was on some sort of a diocesan website, which is, to me, very concerning that I don't know who put that. If that's true, I asked Nancy what diocese she's from and whatnot, because I'm curious and would like to talk to that person, that diocese's communications director, to find out what happened, because that could be very misleading for people. And so she asked me, how do we know if something is real or not, especially if it's supposedly coming out of Rome? Well, that's your first clue. Consider the source. And she even mentioned in her email there really wasn't any link in there to the Vatican. That's what you have to check right away. If we were talking about something from the church, something that supposedly came out of Rome, more specifically the Pope and the Vatican, you have to find the source. And so you can easily go to vaticannews.va, and if that same story is being reported on Vatican News, and I also listed a number of our news outlets. So we start with vaticannews.va, because if there's a major statement from the Pope, if the Pope is giving some sort of an address, an important address, especially something as important as talking about the current president, whether it be positive or negative, and this one was talking about it more in a general sense of a warning to President Trump and how he saw President Trump as being very tired and giving a warning to the people, but it was an hour long. Common sense would tell you that normally the popes do not do anything like this. Now, even Pope Francis, may he rest in peace, who tend to weigh in on things political, I think a lot more than most popes, especially, for example, immigration, the immigration issue in the U.S. But they're not going to give an hour-long address without the top Catholic news outlets reporting on it. So you have to consider the source, and even especially if there's no source in the first place. So you start with the Vatican News site, and that's vaticannews.va. Then you go to solid news sources. Again, consider the source. If you look, as Doug was just saying, all the different outlets we have and all the different quality programming that we give you, the same way we approach our programs, our content in terms of education on the faith, is the same way we approach our news. We vet everything. We have sources. We do the interviews. We do our homework. And that's why you can rely on, for example, the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com, Catholic News Agency, catholicnewsagency.com, EWTN News Nightly. You can go to EWTN.com and you can see a link for News Nightly there. And of course, if it's a big story, you know Raymond is going to have it, as in our very own Raymond Arroyo and the world over. So important to think about that. And just really, something may be, let's say, very moving and not even negative. In this case, it was a pretty powerful, supposedly a powerful statement from the Pope on the sign of the times and whatnot. Even if it's not something that's ridiculous or insulting, just apply common sense. Would a Pope or any bishop or archbishop or cardinal do such a long address involving a current politician? Highly unlikely. How many times have you seen that before? So don't get caught up in the emotion. It's very easy, I know, to get caught up in the emotion, especially when it seems so real. But we have to be very, very careful. So again, consider the source. And if you can't find it on vaticannews.va, Catholic News Agency, the National Catholic Register, EWTN News Nightly, the world over with Raymond Arroyo, if you don't see it, for example, in other solid news sources that are outside the EWTN network, Our Sunday Visitor is another good source. Catholic Vote, the Catholic League, if Bill Donahue isn't talking about it, if it's a big story, Bill's going to be talking about it. That should be that should be a really good sign that it's fake. And also, if you see someone sharing something and you realize after doing your own homework that it's fake, very nicely and respectfully advise them and ask them, where did they get the video? What's the source? Where's the attribution? We really need to be our own reporters now. Vanessa Denhagamer and I talk about this all the time. You need to do your research and don't take something at face value. Because with AI nowadays, guaranteed, something like that is fake. And, you know, someone may have very, very good intentions and may think it's a good message. And it could be, the message itself might be fine, but we shouldn't be passing off something that's fake, that's completely invented. And it's difficult. Some of us get caught up in it. I remember when we did a pilgrimage, Steve Ray and I, back in May, we were doing the Saints and Shrines trip, and this is right after the election of Pope Leo. And one of our pilgrims was very upset because there was this video going around and this story, so-called story, but none of these solid sources that I just mentioned covered it, a story going around about Pope Leo talking about the beauty of being woke. And he had a poem that was all about being woke, and they had a video of him speaking. It looked like it was actually him talking about wokeness. And he asked us what we thought of it. I said, well, first of all, it's obviously fake. And he said, well, how do you know? I said, well, where are you getting it from? Well, it's just being circulated. People can get very, very, very caught up in these things. And so, again, the best advice, take a breath, say a little prayer, and do a little bit of homework. It doesn't take that long. You can quickly go again to the sites that we mentioned and see the big stories they're covering. There will always be a similarity between these very legitimate and very reliable sources that we mentioned, because when a story is a major story, a major statement, a major address, for example, if you went on to the Register or Catholic News Agency this morning, went on to Vatican News, you will see the same stories, because obviously we have people in our Rome office that are covering this day in and day out, and they're experienced journalists. And so they're at the Vatican press conference. As they're talking to people at the Vatican, they're working with the press people there. And they're getting the press releases. They're following the activities of the Pope. Or also Joan Lewis, go to her. Joan's Rome is a very good resource because she's covering the Pope as well and the Vatican. If Joan doesn't have it, if you don't hear Raymond talking about it, if you don't see it on EWTN News Nightly, the Register, Catholic News Agency, or other prominent and very solid Orthodox Catholic organizations covering these stories, bottom line is, I can guarantee you, it's fake. May take a little time, may take a little effort, but it's well worth it. It's one of the first things you learn in J school or journalism school. Consider the source, or in this case, lack thereof. And the second big one we learned was follow the money. But in this case, consider the source, especially when there isn't one. We'll be right back on a Friday. If you're interested in joining us on the upcoming 2027 Good News Cruise, better jump on board. I mean that quite literally because it's almost sold out. We sold out of 26 very early to the point where we could fill another ship for 2026. I think we have close to 2,000 people, or no, 800 to 1,000 people on a waiting list already for 26. And 27 is going in the same direction. That's because we have great speakers like our own Dr. Tim Gray. You know him well from all of his wonderful presentations on EWTN, but also as a president of the amazing Augustine Institute. He's a well-known Catholic speaker and author. Under Dr. Gray's leadership, the Augustine Institute has established the largest Catholic graduate school of theology in the country, has created best-selling programs, including Symbolon, which is awesome, a comprehensive program of faith formation for adults, The Search, a celebrated evangelization series, and Formed, a digital platform with a vast array of Catholic films, ebooks, and audio talks, and Word of Life. Just amazing resources through the Augustine Institute. Tim, of course, also has a PhD in biblical studies from Catholic U and is the author of several books. Tim, great to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, Teresa, it's a joy to be with you again.
All right, so you're excited about joining us on the Good News Cruise. Now, I understand that John Hale, the president of Corporate Travel, has been after you for some time, my friend, to join us, right?
That's right. That's right. And then over the last few years, I keep hearing from people who have been on the cruise and who absolutely loved it. And they're like, you've got to go. You've got to go. And so I finally just kind of relented. I'm like, oh, my gosh, so many people are just loving this. And it's become quite a Catholic event, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is one of the biggest Catholic events, I think. It really is, along with that and the Good News Conference. So I know it's early out. We have about, obviously, a year yet. But any thoughts on what you'll be sharing with the passengers, given your knowledge, your extensive knowledge on Scripture?
Well, I know that one of the themes is obviously for marriage. And so many couples come on here as a not just a vacation, but a retreat. And not just a retreat, but a renewal of their marriage. And I think there's a deep spirituality for marriage, and I think there's deep springs and in that sacrament. And so, you know, if, for example, if Mother Teresa of Calcutta can say that we need to discover Christ in the distressing disguise of the poor in that encounter, how much more in the person we're sacramentally married to should we encounter Christ? And I think there's a richness in spirituality for marriage there that I want to help tap into.
Yeah, that's really important, because I'm sure you've found this when you've done other events, that not everyone, no one is, everybody's at a different place in their relationship with the Lord, and maybe even each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, what people forget, we know about going to the Eucharist, which is obviously the central aspect and the most powerful for encountering God. And for our faith, and we know that the sacraments are where we encounter God, but we don't think about how our spouse that we're sacramentally married to is exactly a sacrament where God wants to encounter us and be an ongoing source of grace. And that's something that I think we just don't tap into as much, and there's a lot of potential there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Talking with Dr. Tim Gray, you recognize his voice and his great work from the Augustine Institute and his many books and, of course, his appearances on EWTN radio and TV. He's going to be joining us on the Good News Cruise 2027. Check it out, goodnewscruise.com. So why do you think it's important, Tim, to have gatherings like this that bring so many Catholics together?
Well, I think, you know, we live in a digital age, Teresa, as you know, and it's great to get great information through digital means. Through audio, through video, and those are powerful things for information. But when it comes to encounter, and we are made to be in community, right? And when it comes to fellowship, we need to be together physically. And so I think that these kinds of gatherings are so important. You know, this is the reason why we just purchased this beautiful campus in St. Louis that was Boeing's former leadership center. So that we could bring Catholics together for retreats, we can bring our graduate students together for our on-campus program, but also our distance ed students can come and be here physically. To be here, to be together is so encouraging and so powerful. And, you know, Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, said man is a social animal, but it's because we have a relational soul. It's because we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is a community of persons. And so I just think on so many levels, when Catholics get together, especially at this kind of scale where you're gathering together, and the powerful thing about this cruise is that the whole ship is chartered. It's just Catholics.
Right.
You know, there's, be 2,000 or so people, and everyone there is an on-fire Catholic who wants to grow in their faith. And how encouraging that is when we gather together as the body of Christ in a community. That is really encouraging, and it's really edifying, and you're going to meet like-minded people, and you're going to make friends, and it's just really powerful whenever we do that.
Now, 26 is the first year we're doing having a whole charter, which we're really excited about, because we've filled, I would say, pretty much three quarters of the other ships, but still you have a lot of other people who were, you know, on the cruise that there weren't with us. So I think this is going to give us a lot more access to the various places on the ship. We can, I think, have more control in terms of the content and have more of an influence, which is really exciting. And what also exciting, I think, and I know you've seen this, so many events, Tim, are sold out, waiting lists, dinners, you know, events. We had the Eucharistic Congress, which was huge. The Jubilee Year of Hope. I mean, my husband and I live part-time in Italy, and the crowds and the people that are coming, there's a mixture in that. It's frustrating. frustrating to get a group around, a tour group or a pilgrimage group around, but at the same time, it is very exciting to see people really interested in learning more about the faith. What do you think's happening? What type of impact are these things having, do you think, on Catholics?
Well, there's definitely a hunger out there, and I would say that I know in general the demographics for the church aren't positive, but what's true is that those who are staying in the church, those who are coming to church on Sunday, they're hungry for more. And so there's an intensity. There's, you know, people aren't going through the motions to be cultural Catholics. If you're coming to church regularly, generally, you're doing that because you're making a decision. And the younger you are, the more that's a decision, right? You're swimming upstream from the culture. And because you're swimming upstream from the culture, people know they need to know their faith better. And they want to get plugged in. And they want to get energized. And so I think, you know, there was probably more Catholics going to, there's a higher attendance to Sunday Mass 40 years ago. But 40 years ago, the churches didn't have Bible studies.
Right.
They didn't have women's groups, men's groups. And so it was a cultural thing. And now, you know, it's a whole different game. People who are coming to church are coming with a much deeper engagement. They don't want to just be going to church on Sunday. They want to be Catholic 24/7. And that's a game changer.
And I'm sure you've seen that with the growth of the Augustine Institute and all your different programs, because you wouldn't keep producing content if people weren't interested.
That's right. There's a huge hunger. And we can see this with the children's content we're creating more and more of. You know, people want good children's content. And it's not that you can't find children's content on YouTube, but you're going to find it with different values than you want to give your kids, right? And so I think that's a part of the drive for Catholics is to find good content for themselves, but also especially for their children. And so there's just a deeper hunger for good content.
Well, I'm excited you're going to be joining us. If you're just listening or tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Tim Gray from the Augustine Institute, one of our fabulous keynote speakers slated to speak on the Good News Cruise 2027. We're talking about 27 because 26 has long been sold out. And I'm just saying, if you're interested, I ran into a lot of people the last couple of weeks, even on the two pilgrimages that I did this past month, people saying, oh, I'm interested in the Good News Cruise. And I'm like, you know what? Time is of the essence. And this happens all the time, Tim. People say they want to go and they're really interested, but they don't register. These cruises have been selling out so far in advance because they've taken on a life of their own in terms of the solid reputation of the kind of content that we give.
Yeah, that's why I'm going, is because I've heard rave reviews from so many friends. And so I think as this buzz grows, you know, you can't make the decision, 6 or 9 months out, I'll make the decision. I think you've got a matter of a couple of weeks before this thing fills up. So
yeah, I
think you're exactly right.
Yeah, and I think this type of a venue, I think it lets people feel comfortable about letting their hair down a little bit and having good, holy and healthy fun, you know, dancing, you know, being romantic with their spouse, having a cocktail on your balcony, maybe going to a wine tasting. We're doing all kinds of fun things. It's okay to have a good time. I mean, St. Teresa of Avila played the tambourine and loved to dance, my patron saint. You know, obviously, in moderation, we're going to be very respectful of each other, but it's a good, healthy time together. It's so much fun.
Yeah, no, and I agree. The tambourine should be used moderately. So, but, you know.
Well, I'm hoping Harry Connick Jr. will let me play the tambourine with him on stage. Well, I don't think that's happening,
yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's what's so exciting is, you know, you look at Harry Connick Jr. is going to be there. I can't wait to hear him perform. You know, he's fantastic. He's world class. And so you're going to hear him, and then you're going to go, and you're going to go to Mass, and you're going to have, you know, Cardinal Dolan, and who is phenomenal preacher and
also funny as the day is long. I love him.
Exactly.
He is just
exactly. So
entertaining.
It's going to be great Catholic fun. There's no doubt about that. Great Catholic fun.
All right. So how many talks are you doing? Have you gotten your assignments yet? Your full assignments?
I think it's two or three. I think I can't remember, but, and this is where I'm glad I'm registered because I tend to put things off to the last minute. And then that's why you don't get out. I don't get on these kinds of cruises or these kinds of events. But
all right. Here's a question for you. Have you met our MC, Father Joe Krupp, from the Diocese of Lansing, Michigan?
I don't think I have.
Oh, my gosh. You have to check him out. Tim, he is so funny. He was a writer, various comedies before going into the seminary. He is so quick on his feet. He keeps everything going. He, to me, is one of the highlights of the cruise. I mean, he's just phenomenal. So you need to check out his work. He's just great. Father Joseph Grupp. And by the way, the website, if you want information for the cruise to see great speakers like, of course, Tim Gray, Father Joseph Krupp, Dr. Ray Grinding, and others, goodnewscruise.com, goodnewscruise.com. Before we let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to plug the amazing Augustine Institute. What are you working on right now?
Well, we're super excited about rolling out a bunch of retreats for this next year, and that's coming. And our Word of Life curriculum, we're trying to get Scripture throughout the formation of children. And so we're doing that with our Word of Life curriculum, but we have a radio theater that a lot of people know, Adventures in Odyssey, that Focus on the Family mm-hmm. did, which is so great for kids. Well, Paul McCusker, who produced that for 25 plus years, converted to Catholicism, and he works for us now.
Wow.
And we're about to launch a beautiful ongoing series for children called Hope Springs. And we released the first two episodes on YouTube and give people a sample of it, but the Season 1 and Season 2 are going to be launched at the end of, January, and we're really excited about an ongoing serial program for kids that forms them with entertainment, very funny, lots of fun, but also very edifying, and really inculcating the right values and Catholic values to kids.
Where do people get information for that, Tim? What's the website for the Augustine Institute?
You know, AugustineInstitute.org. You can find information about our graduate school, our Word of Life curriculum, and other things like Hope Springs that's coming. So also on our Amen app, you just go to Amen Catholic, and you can find our Amen app, which is an audio app that has that free. And so those are two good ways. So.
Well, listen, thank you for joining us, and thank you for saying yes to the Good News Cruise. I know you're going to get hooked. You're going to want to come back year after year. But please, folks, and Tim's correct when he says it is filling up. This year's cruise, I should say next year, but we're coming right around the corner to 26. It's already sold out. It's been sold out for a while. We have close to 1,000 people on a waiting list. We literally probably, Tim, could fill up another ship with the waiting list we have. It's crazy. And 2027 is looking the same way. Amazing speakers. We mentioned Dr. Ray Grandi. We mentioned Tim Gray. Of course, Father Michael Schmitz will be there. Cardinal Dolan, who's wonderful and just sets a wonderful, upbeat, happy, joyful tone. It's going to be a great cruise. We'd love to see you there. GoodNewsCruise.com, 2027. And Harry Connick Jr. is also going to be part of the entertainment. Thanks, Tim. God bless you. Continue all the great work at the Augustine Institute. We'll be right back. I do hope you enjoyed the first hour of EWTN's Catholic Connection on a Friday. It's November 7, 2025. Great to be back with you. And if you could pray for our series, we worked really hard this week to produce it. We think it's going to be another great series, and I'm so thankful to be able to do these types of reports for you, to bring Italy to you in your home, and it'll be coming to a computer or a cell phone near you. Our next online series through Mission Advancement, we're calling it The Unknown St. Francis of Assisi. Not that St. Francis is unknown, but some of these places we're taking you to are, or they're much lesser known than the more common spots, such as, of course, obviously, Assisi. So I think you'll enjoy it. We have beautiful weather this week, unusual for early November. Normally, rainy in Italy in November, but we have had gorgeous weather, sunny skies every single day, Monday through Thursday. We taped all week, just got done yesterday. And it was, I don't know, close to 70 degrees every day with sunshine. So we were able to shoot a lot outside. Just so pretty. The mountains and the fall colors. And anyway, it was great. We'll keep you up to date on that through our information as it comes to you, how you can register. But first and foremost, coming up next hour, Katie Glenn Daniel, who is with the Susan B. Anthony List. She's a director of legal affairs. I talked about this in 2 cents a couple of weeks ago. This huge study regarding the abortion pill. And what Americans are saying about it may surprise you, but it's really important information, especially with the holidays coming up, to have this information to be able to lovingly talk to someone about the dangers of the abortion pill. And then we'll have 2 cents, and we'll also be talking about the BBC. You won't believe what they're up to. Well, maybe you will, considering the state of the media. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. It's Friday, November 7th, 2025. Catholic Connection, second hour here on EWTN's Radio Extra channel. Great to have you tuned in, and we have a great lineup the second hour as well as we did in the first hour. We are going to be chatting with, after 2 cents, Katie Glenn Daniels. She's the Director of Legal Affairs and Political Counsel for the wonderful Susan B. Anthony List Pro-Life America Group. They do fantastic work in supporting pro-life female candidates, and also they educate a lot on pro-life issues. So speaking of that, more specifically, we will be discussing for two segments this huge report that the SBA recently put out regarding how Americans actually want safety protocols on the abortion pill. Prior to this report, the culture, the media would have you thinking that, oh, we don't care, we just want these pills. It's all about being able to, quote unquote, have reproductive freedom at our fingertips. These things are deadly, literally. They're very dangerous. Of course they're dangerous because they're killing a child, but they're also impacting a woman's health. And people want information. Go figure. What a concept. So we'll talk with Katie Glenn when she joins us at the bottom of the hour. We'll have two segments with her, and I hope the information will be very helpful to you. I think it's something really that you should look up, and we'll give you all the details and whatnot and the links. And just read it over. Not that you have to quote it chapter and verse, but no doubt the holidays are right around the corner. And by the way, Dr. A. Grundy is going to be with us, and he's going to be giving us some advice on what to say and what not to say over the holidays with relatives. And we know it can get very sensitive and very heated. We don't want to ruin your holidays, but if somebody has a legitimate question and they're calm and they're eager to talk about it, it really depends on the tone. And Ray will get into this a little bit more. But you should have that information for yourself and for them and for anyone who has a question. There are reasons the church and God tells us that abortion is bad. Thou shalt not kill. And the fallout from that reaches all kinds of areas. So we'll talk with Katie Glenn Daniel from the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America Group. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Now, in 2 cents, I wanted to get to this in Fact Check Friday. I didn't have time, but this is a big story as well. It's important in terms of the media to understand how they work, as Archbishop Chaput always said, because they are working on us. They will, and they are working on us. They will work on us, and they are. And this big, big, big story about the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and the bias that is evident from memos that were released and this big report that was released. It is mind-boggling, but then again, given the state of the press, probably not. But when you hear this, what I'm going to share with you in terms of story after story after story, they did whatever they could to put out a leftist agenda and stifled sources, stifled people who would simply give a different point of view. And they're being called out. But at the same time, believe it or not, this is how arrogant and how they are just, they have no self-awareness and just how bad they are bias-wise. They're calling out one of their own anchors, saying that she was biased in her referencing pregnant women versus pregnant people, using that reference. Yeah, I'm not kidding. So we'll discuss in 2 cents. Not enough time, I'm telling you. I need 3 or 4 hours. There's so much going on in the world. Anyhow, let's take a look at the forecast and see what we are in for this weekend and today. National Weather Service is tracking a few storm systems across the country. We have showers along with a few strong to severe thunderstorms expected from the Great Lakes, New England, and southward into the Ohio and Tennessee valleys. Now, in the wake of this system, the National Weather Service is also saying a stronger storm is expected to track from the Pacific Northwest Plains and through the eastern part of the country. That'll happen this weekend. Strong wind showers and a larger drop in temperatures are expected this weekend into Monday as well. So it's going to be with us for a few days. It is a Friday. We're so glad you're tuned in to the second hour of EWTN's Catholic Connection here on EWTN Radio Extra. Right now, though, at just about 5 minutes past the hour, almost 5 minutes, we need to take a look at the news here on EWTN on a Friday. Yesterday, the Holy Father meeting with Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the state of Palestine, discussing the urgent need to provide assistance to the civilian population in Gaza. The conversation taking place at the Vatican was the first encounter between the pair, who had previously spoken only over the phone. A statement from the Holy See press office describing the meeting as cordial, adding that among the other topics discussed was also the urgent need to end the conflict by pursuing a two-state solution. President Abbas's visit to the Vatican also marking the 10th anniversary of the signing of the comprehensive agreement between the Holy See and the state of Palestine. Meanwhile, Pope Leo says, as Devin Watkins from Vatican News tells us, that an updated document signed by European church leaders is bearing witness to their willingness to work together to spread the gospel.
The bishop signed an updated Carta Ecumenica on Wednesday at the Abbey of the Three Fountains in Rome. In his address, the Pope said the updated document seeks to address the constantly evolving ecumenical journey of Christians in Europe while responding to contemporary concerns in proclaiming the gospel. He noted that Europe has seen new generations born and people arrive from distant lands, bringing with them varied histories and cultural expressions. The Pope said there have been positive and encouraging signs of growth in some parts of Europe, but added that sometimes Christian communities feel that they are increasingly a minority voice.
There are therefore many new voices to be heard and stories that must be welcomed through daily encounters, closer relationships, not to mention the urgency of promoting dialogue, concord, and fraternity amidst the din of violence and war, whose echoes are heard across the continent. In all these situations, the grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord are indeed vital.
Pope Leo called the Carta Ecumenica a testimony to the willingness of the churches in Europe to look at our history through the eyes of Christ. He said the Carta suggests ecumenical methods and also insists on companions for the journey.
One of the notable achievements of the process of revising the Carta has been the ability to take a shared view on contemporary challenges and draw up priorities for the future of the continent, while maintaining a firm belief in the unending relevance of the gospel.
In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV reminded European bishops of his upcoming visit to the site where the Council of Nicaea took place in 325, where he will pray with leaders of other Christian communities. I'm Devin Watkins.
FAA records show the UPS plane that crashed and killed at least a dozen people in Louisville recently spent time at a maintenance facility. The mayor of the city, Craig Greenberg, saying his town is supporting the NTSB's investigation into the crash.
Their job is to learn what happened, use that knowledge to prevent future tragedies like this from happening in the future. And so we want to support the NTSB in every shape, way, shape, or form that we can.
Maintenance records showing a crack in the jet's fuel tank needed a permanent repair. It was grounded in San Antonio from September 3rd until October 18th. The jet crashing on Tuesday while taking off from Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport, causing a massive explosion. The National Transportation Safety Board saying ground video appears to show the left engine detaching from the wing just before the plane went down. And journalists have been getting a look at a part of Gaza that had been the site of some of the fiercest fighting in the war between Hamas and Israel. Reporter Matt Bradley says he visited an Israeli military outpost this week.
The U.S. is working on a resolution to present to the United Nations Security Council that would authorize a so-called international stabilization force. And if this is to be approved, it would be a big step toward making this ceasefire into a more permanent treaty.
For now, he says a ceasefire seems to be holding. And Scott Pringle tells us police are searching for the person who spray-painted swastikas outside a Jewish school in Brooklyn.
The graffiti was discovered outside the Imagine David Yeshiva on McDonald Avenue in Gravesend, as well as a Jewish cemetery and Jewish social services organization Wednesday morning. Governor Kathy Hochul condemned the act and says she's going to put more money in the budget for security at certain sensitive locations.
You cannot engage in such hatred in our great state, in our great city, and think you will get away with it.
Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani reacted to the swastikas, calling it disgusting and a heartbreaking act of anti-Semitism. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
More details of a massive immigration raid in Houston are coming out. ICE agents arrested more than 1,500 people over 10 days. They say the operation was focused on enhancing public safety. Officials say one person arrested was a 35-year-old deported child predator and Mexican mafia member wanted for murder down in Honduras. He was arrested while hiding in a grocery store. And House Speaker Mike Johnson says Republicans have begun to feel very frustrated as a government shutdown continues.
There is really nothing for us to negotiate. We sent them a clean CR, as you know, back in September, September 19th. We passed it out of the House. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Some Senate Republicans say, however, they are close to actually reaching a deal to reopen the government. Senate Majority Leader John Thune saying yesterday that a mini funding package that could get bipartisan support is nearing completion. He met with Democratic negotiators Tuesday night in an effort to find a solution. Some lawmakers are now hopeful a deal can be reached and approved by Congress next week, but that depends on how quickly negotiators can get others on board. And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, meanwhile, says flights will be reduced by 10% at some 40 airports nationwide, and that starts today because of the impact of the government shutdown. The list of airports that will be impacted reportedly include major travel hubs such as LAX, New York, LaGuardia, Chicago, O'Hare, and Phoenix Sky Harbor as well.
We were seeing increased pressure in these 40 markets, and we looked at the data. This was data-driven, and so taking 10% of the flights out will reduce that pressure.
This comes as staffing shortages are causing delays and cancellations across the country. Duffy acknowledging the move will cause an increase in delays and says this is to help with air traffic controller shortages and to also help the controllers deal with fatigue. They have been working without pay because of the shutdown. Michael Kastner tells us, meanwhile, United Airlines will refund customers who now don't want to fly because of impending federal flight restrictions.
The FAA is cutting 10% of flights in U.S. airspace starting Friday morning due to air traffic controller staffing issues during the ongoing federal government shutdown. Those controllers have been working without pay for more than a month now. The plan announced Wednesday gave airlines just 36 hours to reduce flights. United CEO Scott Kirby said any customer is eligible for a refund even if their flight isn't impacted. I'm Michael Kastner.
The Supreme Court now mulling the legality of President Trump's tariffs. The justices hearing arguments this week after the High Court agreed to fast-track the case. Those tariffs staying in place until the court makes a decision. The president did not attend after initially saying he was considering the unprecedented move of doing so. And the president also says he has reached a major deal to lower weight loss drugs for Americans in terms of the prices. Speaking from the White House, Trump says the price of the drugs could be available for as little as $149 a month. The drugs, which include Ozempic and Wegovy, currently go for about $1,000 a month and are not covered for weight loss under Medicare. The deal with pharma giants such as Eli Lilly would expand the coverage to include weight loss for some Medicare beneficiaries. The deal is part of Trump's favored nation drug plan, where U.S. residents would pay the same as other countries do for the same drugs. And Mark Mayfield tells us there's a new report out providing hope that the labor market isn't in danger of sinking.
The report found that private companies added 42,000 jobs in October, following a decline of 29,000 in September, and topping the Dow Jones consensus estimate for a gain of 22,000. According to the report, all of the job creation came from companies employing at least 250 workers, with that category adding 76,000 jobs. ADP's monthly report is typically overshadowed by the official non-farms payrolls report. However, that data won't be released because of the government shutdown. I'm Mark Mayfield.
It is a Friday morning. We're so glad you're listening to hour number two of Catholic Connection here on EWTN's Radio Extra, November 7, 2025. When we come back, 2 cents. Tried to cover this in our first segment this morning, Fact Check Friday, but you need to know, as Archbishop Chaput says, how the media work so they don't work on us, and the BBC is sure trying to influence how we think. Having a great day. It is a Friday. Teresa Tomeo here, Catholic Connection, second hour on EWTN's Radio Extra. Wishing you a beautiful weekend. Moving through the month of November. Can you believe Thanksgiving's only a couple of weeks away? And so I mentioned the fact that because we have the holidays coming up, we are going to have Dr. Ray Guarendi with us. I think next week he's joining us because he always gives us great advice. Don't tell him I said this. I don't want his head to get bigger than it already is. We always tease each other. Anyway, he's going to have some great advice for us on how to deal with our relatives, what to say, what not to say. Now, I would never advise getting into a heated political discussion over Thanksgiving or any time over the holidays. It just is not going to go anywhere. However, if someone is open and they're calm and you have a decent enough relationship with that person and they ask you a question, we should be able to answer it in a good way, in a calm way, and maybe give them some resources. So that's why I'm saying this now, so you can stay tuned for our next interview after the 2 cents segment with an amazing rep from the incredible Susan B. Anthony Liz Pro-Life America. Because the survey that they did and the research they found regarding the abortion pill, which is a big, big, big item in the news, because of the left wanting to be all abortion all the time and so-called reproductive freedom, it's really important to understand that Americans, according to this survey across the board, didn't matter party affiliation, Democrat, Republican, Independent, they're all saying that women deserve information and they want safety protocols. I don't think it's really possible to put protocols with something that's so deadly, but we'll talk about that specifically. The good news that I thought from this survey was that, contrary to what the media and to what the left wants us to think, people do have concerns about the abortion pills. So to me, that's good news that our education is working in terms of the pro-life movement. Okay, speaking of the media, so I don't know how many of you are following the story about the British Broadcasting Corporation and the problems they're having with bias. Now, this isn't exactly breaking news that the BBC, which is very similar to NPR here in the U.S., is biased. People have been complaining about it for years in Europe. Here in the United States, a lot of people follow BBC because they have done some good investigative work and they are very creative with their editing and their video, and they do a lot of creative productions. Okay, fine. We'll give them credit for that. Similar, of course, to public broadcasting. But they are getting increasingly left-leaning. And it is so obvious. And now there's this big report that was released and it's just blowing up all over the place. And I hope they address it, but it doesn't look like there's any self-awareness. Because at the same time these reports are coming out, and these are from memos, internal memos, in the way they choose to cover particular stories, and we'll go through some of them with you, they also called out one of their own anchors for not being politically correct enough or woke enough. So right there, that shows you, in the midst of all this, when people are complaining, when it's a big story over here in Europe, you see it all over the place, and also the American press are covering this, especially conservative outlets, they're criticizing one of their own for not being woke or left enough. So getting a clue yet? Nope. All right. So they face a lot of questions, about what they're doing in terms of coverage. Several different stories. The way they covered, for example, the war. Big one is the war in the Holy Land. Here's just a quick summary, and why it's important to understand, as we said in the first hour when we had our Fact Check Friday segment, we were talking more specifically about how to spot fake videos and AI and how to check out a particular source. But the same goes for the media. Why are they saying this, that, or the other thing? We need to be our own reporters and do our own homework. So here's a summary. Former BBC advisor Michael Prescott accused the corporation of bias in a memo claiming it selectively edited a Donald Trump speech to suggest he encouraged the January 2021 Capitol Hill riots. It showed bias in its coverage of the Gaza war and suppressed negative reporting on transgender issues. So these are three major stories. Now, the House of Commons Culture, Media, and Sport Committee is now seeking clarification on what action is being taken in response to concerns raised in this memo. The committee chair said the committee wants to ensure the BBC is taking decisive steps to uphold the corporation's reputation for integrity and public trust. The BBC, she says, has serious questions to answer. So this is a big deal. But will they answer them? That question still remains. In a memo seen by The Telegraph, which is a newspaper out of London, the former journalist Michael Prescott raised concerns that a BBC Panorama documentary had made Trump say things he never actually said. By splicing together lines from different parts of his speech, creating the impression he was encouraging again the Capitol Hill riots back in 2021, 4 years ago. Other sections of the memo accuse the BBC's Arabic service of bias in its coverage of the war in Gaza, and claimed that some BBC journalists have censored reporting on transgender issues to promote a pro-trans agenda. And again, the House of Commons Culture, Media, and Sport Committee says it has written to the BBC chairman for clarification. They also say they need to be assured that those at the very top of the BBC are treating the issues with the seriousness they deserve. She added the committee also wants to ensure that decisive steps are being taken to correct the situation. The corporation must set the benchmark for accurate and fair reporting, especially in a media landscape where it's all too easy to find news presented in a less than impartial way. Cultural Secretary Lisa Nandy and senior officials in the Department for Cultural, Media, and Sport have been given a copy of the memo and are examining the issues. They're saying, we take any criticisms of the BBC's editorial standards very seriously, and we expect the BBC to consider any feedback they receive seriously and carefully. Following the release of the memo, calls have been made for an immediate investigation into how the Panorama documentary was approved for broadcast, again with critics accusing the corporation of misleading viewers. In a clip broadcast before the election, Trump appears to tell supporters, we're going to walk down to the Capitol, I'll be there with you, and we fight like hell. But the words were actually taken from different sections of his speech, nearly an hour apart. That's just one example. If we look at the war in Gaza, it's the same thing, or the war in Israel, we should say. How they are really portraying, for example, Hamas in a very positive light and the Israelis in a very negative light. And when you have this kind of consistent bias only showing one side of the story, that's extremely problematic. But the thing is they're not, at least at this point, from what we can see, willing to even address any of these things, as bad as they are. And what's a sign of that? Well, listen to this story about one of their anchors. Okay? Now, the incident involving the anchor on air happened a while ago, but their report on this internal report and their decision from within the organization of the BBC just came out. The BBC has now ruled that one of its most recognizable anchors breached impartiality standards after she changed the scripted term pregnant people to women live on air. A moment that went viral and was cheered on by gender critical activists, including Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. The British broadcaster's executive complaints unit found that anchor Martine Croxell's facial expressions and audible hesitation counted to an implicit stance in the ongoing battle about trans language and categories. The ECU concluded she appears to express a controversial view about trans people. In the June broadcast, she introduced a segment on the danger posted by heat waves, reading off the teleprompter before correcting the line. Malcolm Mystery, who was involved in the research, says the age-pregnant people, women, and those with pre-existing health conditions need to take precautions. Now think about this in light of what I just told you. In the midst of all this controversy, they are going after one of their own for speaking reality. So basically affirming their bias by the very action and the way they're treating one of their own reporters. This isn't too much inside baseball for us, folks. We need to know, again, how the media operate, how they work so they don't work on us. And if you're only covering one side of the story to push an agenda, they're trying, again, to get us to think a certain way, and that's not what the media are supposed to do. We'll be right back. Having a great day, always keeping you connected to what's happening in the world and around the world. And of course, we have great sources for that as well, resources that you can tap into in addition to this program, EWTN.com, Catholic News Agency, as I mentioned in the last hour, EWTN News Nightly, The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, The National Catholic Register. We're everywhere, and we love to bring you the truth, because that's what we are about, the fullness of truth, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And I know that our friends at the SBA, Susan B. Anthony List, Pro-Life America, are about getting the truth out there about the dangers of abortion and also these so-called, I even want to call them, you know, medications. Okay, that just drives me crazy, because medicine is supposed to help people, not kill people. And not only kill the children, but the impact it has on the baby. Katie Glenn Daniel is with SBA. She's a director of legal affairs and political counsel. We're talking about how Americans want safety protocols on the abortion pill. So I read the report, and I know that Live Action did a great job on covering it. And I looked at their response to it and looked at the details of it. To me, Katie, it was encouraging that so many people are saying, regardless of their party affiliation, that they want information and they want, of course, protocols on the abortion pills.
Yeah, we were really pleased to see just how much consensus there is amongst Americans. This was a poll that was done nationwide. And actually, the majority of the people polled self-described themselves as being pro-choice. So to see people who say, I'm pro-choice, but I think there should be a lot more safeguards on the abortion drugs, it shows that we've got running room to build consensus.
Does it also show that the education is working? Because I was surprised to see so many people who referred to themselves as pro-choice saying that there should be protocols, because the information out there in the culture, of course, is that these things are as, you know, safe as taking an aspirin.
Yes, that is one of the biggest lies that we hear. And I think what we saw from this poll, where people were asked about the real world impact of our federal policies, like should men be able to get these drugs, or should these drugs be sent from overseas, things that people don't often think about, but when they were asked about it, and which shows, you know, when we've got media like you covering this, telling the truth, people responded very strongly and very negatively to the idea that these drugs are sent from overseas, or that men are accessing them, or that they're used to coerce and pressure women.
All right, well, give us some of the details, if you would, a little bit more specifics, Katie, regarding the survey that you did and the safety protocols on the abortion pill.
So I think it's important just to start out and say there were a lot of changes made under President Biden. It's something that many of our pro-life states are working on, many members of Congress, on rolling that back. But the biggest thing that the Biden administration did was they allowed these abortion drugs to be sent through the mail. And they said, you know, in our perfect world that obviously doesn't exist, there will be a video visit and you'll have somebody who you could go to locally if you have any problems. What we found is none of that actually happens. And so we wanted to poll people on the reality of abortion drugs going through the mail versus this Pollyannish perfect world that the Biden SBA envisioned but doesn't really exist. And so we asked things like, you know, previous presidents, including Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump, all required in-person doctor's visits before these abortions. President Biden removed that safeguard. You know, what do you think about that? And 69% of people agreed that in-person doctor visits was the better policy. We asked things like, should the drug label give accurate information about the real-world impact of these drugs on the people who take them? 87% of people agreed. I think, you know, who were the 7% who didn't agree with that, right? That just seems so common sense. And yet we know that FDA is currently saying maybe 1 in 25 women go into the ER after these drugs, which is still tens of thousands of women. But data that looks at insurance, so it's much more real world. It's not a study where it's very controlled, but this is real world insurance claims. They show maybe 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 women are in the ER. So the drug, you know, updating the drug label to show accurate information about what this drug does to the baby, but also to mom, is very, very popular.
What's interesting, too, about this, Katie, is that in terms of the numbers, the people who were surveyed, as you mentioned, they self-identified as pro-choice on abortion, 57%. So the number who are identifying as pro-choice on abortion was higher than those in the survey who are identifying as pro-life. And they were asked the following questions in three proposals: requiring FDA drug labels to accurately report the real-world impact of a drug on the product they take, on the patients that take it; requiring a doctor's visit in order for the chemical abortion drug to be prescribed to terminate an unwanted pregnancy; and requiring doctors to screen for and report signs of coercion or abuse before prescribing chemical abortion drugs. And the fact that you had 90% approval of requiring the FDA drug labels to accurately report the real-world impact of a drug on the patients that take it, to me, that's huge, especially with the breakdown of how these people in the survey feel about abortion.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the other questions we asked that you just mentioned about coercion and abuse, this is something people responded very positively to. And there is actually a young woman who's suing FDA right now. Her boyfriend got these abortion drugs online, and he pressured her into taking them. She tried to get away. She tried to lie to him and say, I already did it. And then she was like, as he was, just coming down on her over and over about this, she said, well, I thought they put them in my mouth and then spit them out. And unfortunately, she was not successful with that. She lost her baby. And now she's suing FDA. And one of the things she says is, if I went and sat in front of a doctor and I said, I don't want these, that doctor would never have given them to her. But some doctor in California sold them to her boyfriend on the internet with no problem. So she is the face, sadly, of why things like in-person dispensing, in-person doctor visits, and screening for coercion and abuse is so important. And it's heartening to see that the American people, do want those policies in place. And I think when they hear her story, they'll be horrified to know that it was our government agencies that allowed that situation to happen.
So what do you think is happening? Why do you think you had such a strong response and such a good response to the fact that people want and say protocols are needed here? What do you think?
Well, I think these policies are common sense. Unfortunately, we see a lot of platitudes around this issue where people say things like, I'm pro-choice, or I think abortion should be accessible. And then the industry takes that and runs with it to the worst extreme, where accessible to them means some guy on a computer in a different state who may not even be a doctor is just shipping these pills out all day long. And that's their version of accessible. When you ask the American people, what do you mean by this when you say that, they actually mean very tightly controlled situations that would include that off-ramp so that the doctor is not a vending machine. And if a woman comes in and says, I actually don't want this, I'm being pressured by my family or by my boyfriend or by somebody else in my life, that doctor can intervene for her and help her rather than just shipping drugs in the mail.
And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you in terms of how you're sharing this, because this is such important information. I know it has made the rounds in the conservative circles, but it seems like, based on what you're telling me, and I think this is great news because of your great work, it is getting out there. We'll have more on this very important report that was released, the survey that was released by our friends at the wonderful Susan B. Anthony List Pro-Life America. It's a Friday morning. We're grateful for your listenership here on EWTN. You're listening to EWTN Radio Extra. Connection on Friday, November 7, 2025. 39 minutes past the hour now. On the phone with us is Katie Glenn Daniel. She is with the Susan B. Anthony List Pro-Life America, Director of Legal Affairs and Political Counsel. And sometimes we look out there in the world and we think common sense isn't so common anymore. However, a bright spot with the survey that SBA did showing that people, guess what, are using and applying common sense and say, despite where they're from in terms of their politics, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, what a concept. We need safety protocols on the abortion pills. So, Katie, where do we go from here? Because this is really helpful information that can work not only within the pro-life movement, but even people in the medical community, in the legal community. What are you doing with this solid information you received?
Well, the first thing we're doing is making sure that all of our leaders have seen it and they understand that they should feel fortified in their pro-life values. They should feel that this is something that they can talk about and that when they speak clearly about their views, about wanting to protect both women and children, that a lot of people will agree with them on most of it. I think that's the overall picture that we draw from this survey, is that even people who say they're pro-choice, they don't just reflexively say no to all of these things that the abortion industry would categorize as barriers to abortion, like an in-person doctor's visit, like screening for abuse. They say, no, this is what I want.
Did that surprise you? Did the results surprise you?
It didn't surprise me, because these policies are so common sense, and we see this industry hiding information all the time. So I think sunlight truly is the best disinfectant. When we say, these are the policies we're for, do you agree with them or disagree with them? We just get such a better picture, a more textured picture of where people are, than when you say, are you pro-life? Are you pro-choice? Do you support abortion? Do you oppose abortion? Like, that's just very flat. But that's the type of poll we see from the other side, because they don't want people to feel that there is consensus for pro-life views, which are actually really often common sense views.
It's so interesting, though, because there are people, pro-choice people, they identified as pro-choice, that agreed with this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this really fits into kind of that, like, MAHA, Make America Healthy Again mentality. I got to ask our pollster kind of some follow-up questions. And one of the things I said was, what animated young women the most? You know, these are the voters that are kind of seen as the most, you know, voting the most for Democrats or the most extreme on this issue against pro-lifers. And he said the two things that they really, really connected with were accurate reporting of complications. You know, it makes sense, right? Women want to understand what's actually going to go on in my body, and is this something I want to take based on that? And the doctor visit. So I think people really want authentic, good health care, which we know the abortion industry doesn't provide. So I think we can, when we can peel back the layers and bring people to our side.
Hmm. And so how do you see this coming in the next, let's say, I know it's a ways away. The Republicans didn't do too well in the most recent elections, but we've got, you know, another year or so ahead of us before we get into the midterms. Are you planning on using this to put out information for voters to keep them well informed? How else will you use this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, SBA is already on the doors talking to potential voters in several states. We're going to be in a couple more soon. So even though election day for the midterm feels far away, the campaign's already started. And this is the type of information we want to make sure voters understand. When we say, you know, this candidate supports in-person doctor visits and screening for coercion and believes that no woman should ever be forced into these drugs, and we need policies that make sure that never happens. And the other candidate supports the abortion industry, who wants no limits on these drugs or on any other part of the abortion, who, you know, sees it as not that big of a deal if somebody is coerced because it means more money in their friend's pockets over at Planned Parenthood. Like, we are, you know, having that conversation and drawing that contrast at the door, and likely voters are already responding to it very positively and saying that changes the way I was looking at this election.
We're talking with Katie Glenn Daniel, SBA Director, Susan B. Anthony List, Pro-Life America. She's the Director of Legal Affairs and Political Counsel for that wonderful pro-life organization. And we're talking about how Americans want safety protocols on the abortion pills based on a recent survey. So for those just tuning in, kind of give us a refresher, Katie, on how many people were surveyed, where they came from, and when you did the actual survey.
Sure. So this was a national survey, 1,600 likely voters in the general in the midterms in 2026. We surveyed them in the middle of August. So this was before the government shutdown. And it was really a true mix, about 50-50 male and female. You know, in thirds, we've got Republicans, Democrats, Independents, across all demographics. We really wanted to get a picture of the U.S. population at large, and that's why we did this national large scope survey. And what we found was pretty much regardless of whether people said they were pro-life, pro-choice, Democrat, Republican, they really strongly favor very common sense requirements on these abortion drugs that unfortunately were gotten rid of by the FDA under Joe Biden. So these are things like accurate reporting on the drug label, going to see a doctor in person to be screened, and making sure that that screening is not just physical, but it's also against coercion, abuse, trafficking, to make sure that this woman is there voluntarily. And what we found was huge majorities, 70, 85, 90% of Americans support these very common sense propositions.
In terms of the federal government, the current administration, have you taken this to, for example, Kennedy, the FDA, health officials at the Trump administration, and did you get their response?
Yes, we've absolutely been making sure that everybody in Washington knows about this because we want them to feel emboldened. We want them to know you have the American people's support to undo these bad Biden policies and put back in place rules that, quite frankly, were the norm in President Trump's first administration. So we are really enthusiastic. All 51 pro-life senators, led by Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, sent a letter to the administration, which if you've ever tried to get 51 people to do anything, let alone 51 U.S. senators, we were so thrilled with the enthusiasm from our leadership. And so now we've got to keep the pressure on to get this across the finish line as soon as we can.
Do you think the word is getting out about the risks, including, for example, abortion? We know that the reason they take it is for a terminated pregnancy, but in addition to killing the child, the woman is facing a lot of health risks, including hemorrhaging, infection, and possibly even death in many cases. So more people must be at least aware of some of the stories around this, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes we have to learn things the hard way. And we're actually seeing this abortion coercion in particular. So somebody forcing the pills on a woman, and then she ends up in the hospital with very serious health complications, like what you just mentioned, hemorrhaging, infection. It's becoming like a category of true crime. Court TV has actually been covering these stories very well. People Magazine, you know, who's usually very liberal, they are covering these stories. So I think more people are understanding that this claim the industry makes, safer than Tylenol, safer than aspirin, safer than everything, safest drug on the market. That's what they say about these abortion drugs. I think everybody intuitively knows that's just not true. But now we're seeing more news coverage of these horrible stories. And our hope was that we can stop that so that we don't have any more of these stories because women aren't being heard.
Yeah, it's so important to get out there. Has this been picked up by the secular media, this report, this survey?
Not as much as I would have liked it to, I'm afraid to say. Mm.
Yeah.
But we've
yeah.
seen great enthusiasm with our right-of-center media and religious media. So my hope is that, you know, people who see this and say, actually, I'm in the majority. I know the secular media can make us feel like we're not in that silent majority. So my hope is that because our friends in the media have been so great at pushing this out, that people who read their stories or hear your show will feel confident to talk about this with their friends and neighbors, their friends at church, their kids, and we can build momentum that way.
Yeah. So where would people, what would be the best place to go to get the information on the survey?
You can go to our website, sbaprolife.org. Or find us on social media at SBA Pro-Life, and you can actually read the memo with all the crosstabs, get all the data, and we've also got great graphics kind of telling this story about where the American people are, which is that they overwhelmingly want common sense restrictions on these dangerous drugs.
All right, now here's a question for you. We've got Thanksgiving right around the corner, and of course, the upcoming holidays, the rest of the holiday season. Sometimes, because we're in a very politically motivated, politically charged environment, this would be something I think that you could share calmly if this issue comes up about the abortion pill and people have misinformation. How would you recommend that, or would you recommend people sharing this? I certainly would. It's not, you don't want to cause any hassles or big fights or anything, but if somebody asks you a question about this, and you have this information, it's so neutral in terms of you've got more pro-choicers responding here than you did pro-lifers in terms of the numbers. You could show how balanced this is.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a 3-page memo. It's right on the top of our website. And I think if somebody said something like, nobody agrees with you, or everybody's on the other side, which are things that I think we've all heard either in social settings or right. family gatherings, to say, you know, actually, I bet there's a lot we do agree on. Let's look at this. And more likely than not, unless someone's really just trying to, you know, stick it to you, they probably mm-hmm. would read this and say, oh, yeah, I do agree with those things.
Right. And what I would do is, I'm sure you do this as well, because I'm sure you have a lot of these conversations, you're pro at it. I would ask some questions. So do you think, just like the questions you asked in the survey, well, what do you think? Do you think that people should have restrictions, or that a woman should have to go to a doctor, or at least get a consultation with a doctor? What do you think about that? Or the information on something that's very risky? Do you think they should have that information available before, you know, being pressured to take, or about what about coercion? Just kind of asking a few questions, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start the conversation. I know my mom came with me to a presentation I gave a few weeks ago, and at the end of it, she said, they just send these drugs in the mail. They don't even do a video visit.
Wow.
And I said, yes, unfortunately, there are people who operate like that. And, you know, for somebody who doesn't live in this world and have to see what I see, it's hard to even conceptualize that because it's so outside of our mainstream experience with doctors. But these guys aren't doctors. They are abortionists. And so I think, you know, by talking about the facts of the situation in a calm way, in a way that builds consensus first, then you can get to that point where if I just said, these guys just ship this stuff through the mail, you know, some people might shut me down because they just have a hard time believing someone could be so reckless.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think if there are stories out there, and at least those stories are getting covered in terms of the dangers of the abortion pill, that's something else you can share. And then on top of that, you can calmly share, you know, the results of a survey like this. Katie, thank you so much for your great work. Give us a website again and where we can access this information.
SBAProLife.org or on social media at SBAProLife.
All right. What are you working on now? What else can we expect from the wonderful Susan B. Anthony list?
Well, we are working hard to extend the one-year defunding of big abortion businesses. We were thrilled as taxpayers and pro-life human beings to get the abortion industry out of our pockets with the federal reconciliation bill that was signed by the president in July, and just trying to get these dangerous drugs out of the mail.
You're the best, Katie. Thanks. And we look forward to having you back on again real soon. Katie Glendaniel, Director of Legal Affairs and Political Counsel for the wonderful Susan B. Anthony List, Pro-Life America. We'll be right back. Wishing you a blessed weekend. It is November 7, 2025. Gosh, moving through November way too quickly for me. Anyway, we will be off this weekend, obviously, and then back with you live. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise on a Monday, and we are still working on the developments of the show because we like to be very topical. But we do know we will have Gail Buckley Barringer with us for our beautiful scripture verse of the week, so you can count on that. And then we're also working on a number of other stories. We're excited because we're going to have, as we mentioned, Dr. Ray Grundy on from EWTN, his many books and whatnot. And we're going to do, it's kind of become an annual thing with Dr. Ray and me, where we talk about how to handle all the tension that comes sometimes with being with family members at the holidays. And not just even if you don't enter into, let's say, you know, somewhat of a hot topic button, you know, hot button issue topic discussion, and you're just there and you know, you don't get along with this person or that person, or you haven't seen them in a long time. Dr. Ray is filled with really good advice on how to handle it. It's not easy. But we always want to win people over and love them. It's not about winning an argument, but we do want to win them for Christ. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to love them and to be kind and respectful. Doesn't mean we don't stand up for ourselves and allow them to insult us or hurl insults across the room. It just means that you do catch a lot more flies with honey. I know, been there, done that many times with my own family. So we'll discuss that next week and much more. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to EWTN. Stay tuned.